Hi folks, this is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 58. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars, amps, pedals, music, and all, I am conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Check out the show notes at the blog or guitarpodcast.net/blog, or go to theguitarpodcast.net and click on the show notes link up in the main nav at the top of the page. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. That's where you can chime in with comments and such. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts, where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. All right, let's get to it. We're going to talk about a bunch of different things. As it's been kind of normal for the last several episodes, it's not really focused. It's just kind of random thoughts. Random Thoughts by Lauren Hunt. I want to first apologize for the audio quality of the last episode in my mobile podcasting studio. Instead of holding the my iPhone in my hand as I was recording, which, I mean, it's not ideal to record that way anyway, but at least if I hold it in my hand, it's going to sound fairly decent. Much better than I put it in my dashboard holder, and that wasn't good at all. And I you know, like I said, I sincerely apologize for the lousy audio. At the point of recording this one tonight, I don't have any negative feedback from that from anybody, but anyway, I just wanted to preemptively state that in case, you know, you listen to it and you're like, man, what in the world? I could barely hear you. Or I think at one point my turn signal is louder than me talking. So anyway, I wanted to follow up with that cheapo Dean used guitar that I was looking into pickups and everything. I got this Gibson humbucker from the same guitar shop, Brownsburg Guitar, and Mike was saying he thought that, well, the guy that brought it in said that it was a burst bucker, one of the, like, first generation burst bucker. But upon further review, I found out that it is indeed a Dirty Fingers, probably a Shaw Dirty Fingers from anywhere from 1980 to 83, you know, give or take, whatever. I don't have the ball. I mean, I don't have... I'm watching football and somebody fumbled. There's a fight, and I'm sorry. I don't have the pickup installed yet, so I can't really give you feedback on that yet. I'm waiting to get some 2500K CTS pots and a nice 0.022 400 volt capacitor for the system, for the, you know, for the control panel and everything. And then once I get that stuff, I'll start putting it together. But when I've been thinking, I have a DiMarzio Super Distortion sitting at home. I mean, sitting in the basement in a guitar that I never use. I'm thinking about pulling that out and throwing it in the neck too. So that guitar is going to change looks just a little bit from what you saw on the images from last week's episode. So that's just a little bit of information. I think the Super Distortion runs at about 7K output. The Dirty Fingers legend has it that it runs at about 15K in output, which it's just, that's an insane amount, but... anyway, there are a lot of people who like it, and I think that probably fits perfect for this particular guitar's purpose, to be a in your face shredder metal, just crazy pyrotechnics type guitar, just yeah, that kind of guitar. So yeah, that summarizes where I am with that guitar. It's kind of fun. And to this point, you know, I really don't have a ton of money in it and be able to reuse some stuff. I think CTS pots are like $6 a piece. And the capacitor I want to use, I think, is like $8 or $14. It's a little higher end. So I'm upgrading some electronics, some components in there, which all in all wouldn't add too terribly much to the price if it were like that from the factory. So, oh, and last week I did say that I thought that the laminate top was about a quarter inch. I don't think so. Maybe an eighth of an inch. My wife was talking about it. She was like, hey, you know, it's not a burst. It doesn't really fit. And I said, but you see the wood grain, and it's flame, and it's awesome looking. She's like, but it's black, and it's not a burst. And I said, well, check it out. Maybe I could refinish it and give it a burst. Now, if I was confident it was a quarter inch laminate, I would totally do it. I would totally get the ball rolling with that. But since I think it's only an eighth of an inch and that black stain may go fairly deep, I'd be kind of concerned. So whenever I start digging into it, I'll find out more about the stain. I may cut a little bit into the pickup cavity and just kind of see what the you know, how deep it goes and so on. So that really sums it up. So now then, on the heels of that, I got an email from Sam, and I think he's from New Zealand, or she. And it says Sam from NZ, and I'm guessing that's New Zealand. Here, I'll Google it. NZ. Where's NZ? Yep, New Zealand. I'm so smart. Lucky and humble, right? It was a lucky guess. He said, a good idea for show topic is the differences, pros and cons of passive versus active pickups, and which are the best in your opinion. Well, I don't know that I could actually, I really don't think I could dedicate a whole episode to active versus passive pickups. Just because I think it's really fairly cut and dried, in my opinion. And of course, that's just it, in my opinion, my point of view. It depends on what you're looking to get out of your pickup. If you want a vintage tone, blues, southern rock, country, classic rock, you know, vintage tone, you want to go with passive pickup. I mean, it just, there's, you know, you definitely do not want to go with a, well, I would not use an active pickup for that purpose. Now then, if you want something that's really punchy, really in your face, really strong, high output, that's when you use an active pickup. And say, like, you know, the guitar I've been talking about, an active pickup would work great in that, for that those purposes. An active EMG or one of those old Jackson pickups, you know, throw one of those in there, it would be it would scream. It would definitely scream. The thing is, a little bit of rewinding here, the difference between a, you know, some fundamental differences between a active and passive, other than what I was talking about there, about the sound, you know, the results is an active pickup utilizes a 9-volt battery to help power it and give it extra punch and kick, and just, it's a more powerful pickup. Whereas an analog pickup, it just utilizes the power that's coming through your cable to your guitar. So it's, yeah, looks good, honey. My wife is making she's crocheting hats, and She does a great job at it and everything, and mainly for kids and women and stuff like that. And somebody requested one of those beanie hats that has a crocheted beard on it. And I'd never seen one before. And they're pretty crazy looking, but somebody asked for one, and she just made her first one, and she kind of put it on, and it was kind of funny. So anyway, I had to share. Back to the active versus passive pickups. Now, passive pickups, they don't use any, you know, they don't use a 9-volt battery. They don't use any of that power. It's just from the magnet or the poles, the magnetized poles, or the magnet in the base, under the base plate, or between the base plate and the bobbins, and gets its power from the amp, basically. And, you know, like I said, you could have, with a passive pickup, you can get your classic tones and stuff, or you can get a high output passive pickup, like the Dirty Fingers, or the Screaming Demon pickup that I think that's George Lynch's pickup. But there are a lot of different pickups out there that are geared towards different genres of music, or the different kind of tone you're wanting to get, or, you know, a cleaner tone or a more aggressive tone, like more gain or distortion or whatever. And like in this guitar I have, that Dean, I want it to be very aggressive, very loud, very high output, just a monster guitar. And whereas in my Strat, I have Van Zant True Vintage pickups, and they're passive, and I want them to sound exactly as what the name sounds. I want it to sound vintage. And my Les Paul, I'm pretty sure they're Shaw pickups, and they sound nice and classic, but they have a nice overdrive to them. They're not too much. They're great sounding pickups. And so there's no way that I would want to change my Les Paul into, you know, I wouldn't put active pickups in there. But active pickups are typically for, like I said, your metal guitar player or your shredder type. And, you know, and neither one of those guitars fit that mold. However, the Dean does. So, you know, one of the first things I thought of was, maybe I could find an EMG or something, you know, one of those, you know, an 81 or whatever, an active, really hot pickup, you know. But I have this other thing going on, so the search probably ends here. But like I said, I'll update you on that as things go. Once I get all the parts together and solder it up and fire it up, I'm looking forward to it. So, Sam, I hope that answers your question about active versus passive. If you want to email me back and let me know if you were looking for, if there's more information you're wanting to know about, you know, more in-depth detail about pickups, defining different components, different parts of pickups, and kind of a history of pickups, from Fender or Gretsch or Gibson. And those are the three that I would discuss, you know, from your single coils, various single coils from Fender to your P90s and humbuckers, you know, your PAFs from Gibson or like your Filtertrons from Gretsch. But, you know, let me know. I'd be glad to talk about whatever. So, now then, all right, I got into an email discussion. Oh, she wants me to try on the bearded hat. I can't believe I'm going to put this on. All right, so I tried on the bearded hat, and, she says I look great, so, And I'm not going to ask her to make one for me. Although, she's not too keen on me growing a beard, which I can grow one just fine. Maybe I do need one of these hats that has a beard on it. I don't know. Anyway, I got into an email discussion with a listener, Greg, about the 1956 Gibson GA40 amp. And if you listen to earlier episodes, I talk about it, and I love my GA40 and how awesome I think it is. And he was asking about information about it and maybe some pictures of the circuitry in mine. And I sent him photos. And I just think this is really kind of, I don't know, I'll get to it. He emails me first. I noticed on YouTube you had a GA40, a 56 GA40. I'm currently trying to repair my amp, but I need a layout for it. I have the correct schematic, but I believe some components are missing, and a layout would help tremendously. And so I sent him some pictures of the circuit board and the schematic that I found online that has a lot of values and stuff like that. Because I saw on my Les Paul forum, there's a guy looking for information on it, and he had a schematic, but it didn't have the values. The schematic I have has the values, and I think it helped the guy out. So I sent this to Greg, and was hoping it helped him out. He replied back that he didn't replace anything himself. The black cap. Oh, I said also that I didn't do any of the replacements. The black caps you see are the replacements, and told him, he had a local. When I bought the amp, a local guy had gone through it and replaced some things, and it's done by a very reputable local amp repair guy, Uncle Albert's up on the northeast side of Indianapolis. And I had some minor repairs made by another amp tech out on the east side, and just some different things. I was just hearing something. It wasn't a big deal. And he was like, yeah, this just one thing was going bad. It wasn't a big deal. And so, and that particular amp repair guy, I want to get on the show and talk about amps and building amps and all that good stuff. Oh, yeah. It was Dan Davis on the east side. I just had to look back through my emails. And it was Dan. I think it's Paradise Tones. Dan Davis with Paradise Tones. I couldn't remember the name of his company. But anyway, I'd like to get him on. I wouldn't mind talking to Kevin and Uncle Albert's for the show, and as well as Getchell Amps. Oh. Speaking of Getchell Amps, that's a whole other thing. I'm going way off. I'll talk to you about that later. So I was asking, I know the speaker in mine was replaced, so I asked him, do you have the original speaker? Were you having to change out, send pics, so on and so forth? And he emailed back a nice history of this amp and part of what makes it so special to him. And when I read this email, it reminded me of part of the cover story of the most recent vintage guitar magazine. Had Brad Paisley in there, and he was talking about they were asking him about his first guitars and amps and stuff like that, and he told the story of how his grandpa bought him his first guitar, his first decent guitar, and then he had his first show, and his grandpa came over with a nice Fender amp for him, and just the story behind it. It was a nice sentimental story, when you think about, I don't have my grandparents anymore, so it's kind of emotional, his grandpa played and everything, was very much into guitars and so on, my guitar heritage goes back to my grandpa, my great-grandpa, and I don't know who before that, but that's as far as I know how far it goes. But my great-grandpa, they said that he could really make the thing sing, and that's all I know about his guitar playing, is that he could really make it sing. So I guess that's pretty good. Anyway, so I really like this story from Greg, and I want to share it with y'all. Says, well, I've owned the amp since I was 7 or 8 years old. My great uncle had it at his house, and his house was destroyed during a tornado in 78. I went with my granddad and grandpa to help them clean up the place, and he gave it to me for helping him. I believe it was his son's amp, and years later I asked him what guitar he had, and he said that when he bought the amp, he'd bought the same year Les Paul to match the amp. So that would be a 56 Les Paul. Wow. I asked what color it was, and he said gold. So it was a gold top Les Paul. Yeah, no chance the guitar on the guitar. Ha ha. It was nowhere to be found. And he said it was lost in the storm, so I'm guessing it was pretty well all destroyed. The amp made it out okay, though. Kind of cool, huh? All it was missing was the pedal and handle. He said, in side note, the handle missing on those old amps is very, very common. Mine, I have a replacement handle for mine, too. So, he said it was in his attic and when the storm hit, and it had been in the attic for quite some time. Man, I wish I wish that guitar would have survived the storm. I wish I've played on it. I got a Les Paul copy for Christmas when I was 10 and remember trying to play Black Dog one afternoon in my bedroom. I remember having the thing dimed. When everything went quiet, I smelled a sweet smell of burning electronics. I'm pretty sure that ceramic resistor that's on the far left of the turret board is what burnt. My granddad had a stock of tubes and tube tester he had from when he repaired TVs in the 50s and 60s. He tried to repair it and was going to do a cap job on it, which is why it's in the state it's in now. He got sick, was never able to finish it up. I've not done anything to it, but try to keep it all together all these years. I just recently, within the past 10 years or so, lost the four on the front. Like I said, nothing was wrong with it after the storm. I played it that once and smoked it, and it's been dead ever since. Yeah, I've got some pictures, and I'll add them to the email. Do you think you could get some close-up pictures of the ones I'm sending you, like the ones I'm sending you? And da 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 da. He said the speaker needs reconed though. Side note, I just put in a vintage greenback in it, a Celestian Greenback 25. If you like the tone you hear in that YouTube video from that amp, once you get all the electronics working fine and everything. I would just do that and not recone the original unless you're really wanting to restore it back to the original specs, all original specs. But if you're wanting it to be a nice workable amp, kind of the way I have it, that's what I'd recommend. You know, either way, you know, it depends on what your outcome, what outcome you're looking for. And he says here too that maybe get a reissue one from Weber somewhere. I know this GA40 sounds really good too. That's why I'm anxious to get it going. I've recently gotten into building pedals and modding amps, and I've learned a whole lot over the past year or so about tube-type electronics and pedal circuits that I'm pretty confident I can get it running again. That's why I've been looking to see if anyone has any layout of the components. I've got a schematic, but need that layout to be 100% sure of everything. There's a guy in town that used to do repairs on Gibson amps that he was building in Buffalo amps and piano, but I'm not real sure what happened to him. Kind of dropped off a year ago and doesn't want to bother him. I don't blame him, what he says here. Anyway, he kind of wraps it up here, wraps up his email. And, you know, I like the story, and that's why I shared it with you all. And, honestly, I would love to hear more of these kind of stories of if you have a nice guitar or a guitar that really meant a lot to you or amp or whatever that's been kind of passed down from a parent or grandparent or something like that, or even somebody that's really special to you, a mentor that gave you something or whatever. you know, a piece that has a cool story behind it. Kind of like whenever you watch Antiques Roadshow, if you watch that show, they'll tell a story behind a piece, and then the expert will tell about, you know, the history of the piece too. But I kind of like stories, and I think I'd like to share that kind of stuff on the podcast too. So if you have a story, just email it to me directly to info@theguitarpodcast.net. It comes directly to me. So I'd love to share that on future episodes, you know, as they come in, best I can. Of course, if I'm doing a mobile podcast, I'm not going to read it, because it's not really safe to read and drive. So, yeah, my wife says that's right. Yeah, so let's see where we are on episode. We're at 28 minutes. Let's see if I can squeeze one more thing in here. I don't know. Now I'm looking at, actually, back to Greg's email. I'm looking at his, he sent me pictures of his GA40, and it's a really, I can't believe it's been through a tornado. It looks really in pretty good condition. The covering is in way better condition than mine. You know, it's missing the 4 on the 40 on the 40. The Gibson looks really good. Grill cloth looks about as good as mine does. Some of the covering on the bottom is torn up, but the maroon top looks really pretty nice. Mine is missing a lot. I mean, it's just so worn you can barely tell that it once was maroon. And I see the circuit board, and you can tell that there's a lot of stuff missing in there. I wouldn't say necessarily a lot of stuff, but there are a few things that seem to be missing, and some things that certainly would need to be replaced. But, you know, if any of you have any information about GA40s and want to send me an email, I'll pass it on to Greg. Like I said, I really love these amps. I'd love to have another one, and they don't fetch the same kind of money as like the Fenders, because they didn't have the marketing. They're not as well known. I personally would be just fine with having a bunch of these GA40s and almost nothing else. I love the tone. My Getchell amp is modeled very much after that same circuit. And it's an old circuit. There's nothing really all that special about it. It's, you know, 30s technology, so I mean, it didn't change a whole lot for what this is. So, but it's just a super cool amp, and I dig it. And I want more. Now my wife is wearing the bearded hat. So it's very interesting.
You don't think I should get one of these for myself?
Not really. No, sorry. So, you know, I've rambled on here for about 30 minutes, so I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on Facebook. If you like what you heard today and you subscribe using iTunes or Zune, please let them know by writing a review. Thanks again. This is Warren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.